Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Glad you could be here on The Advertising Show. Ray Schillens, Brad Forsythe. The Advertising Show is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. You know, I mentioned, I think it was last week, about Captivate. They were listed in a publication that we get here as being a really, really super cool way to reach people. In addition to, it was basically not event marketing, but all types of different ways to touch people with a message, and they were listed as one of the successful ones too, so it's good for them. Well, we have on the Advertising Show, Pam Horan, OPA President. What is the OPA? The Online Publishers Association. She was out of San Francisco this weekend. And let's see, who else do we have here? Coming up shortly, Gene Bliss, our customer experience. And basically, this is a really cool feature that Gene did, Brad. It's called Standout Job Applicants. And it's basically when you're going after people and looking for employees and such, how do you approach them? Do you give them, you know, beyond the lie detector and urine tests, which some places do? What do you do to make sure that you've got the right, not necessarily the right body, but the right head, selling your product? And she cites an ice cream parlor in Austin, Texas as being a great way to audition candidates for a job. The people who go to work there really do want to go to work there, as opposed to many other places that these people really couldn't care less. So that'll be in a little bit. Go ahead.
I'd say start out and check their Facebook page, right?
Something like that. Yeah, exactly. And the new RFP is what a little bit later on Shamin Abbas is going to be talking about as well. Things aren't the same as they used to be, say, a year ago from now. So, or a year ago past, I should say. So Pam Horan, appointed president of the Online Publishers Association in June of 2006 after having served as VP of Marketing and Membership for 2 years. Prior to joining the OPA, Pam worked at Xenio Systems, Inc., where she was the vice president of marketing and oversaw marketing and distribution partnerships for the digital magazine publishing system. And we'll tell you more about Pam, and we'll also get a chance to talk to her and find out what's going on in the in the Online Publishers Association world as well. So what do you have there? I'll let you talk here for a minute.
And by the way, we're looking forward to talking to Pam. Should be an interesting interview. NBC, Ray, is closing in on a deal with the UK's Hat Trick Productions to bring the BBC's panel show, Have I Got News For You, to the U.S. The program features teams of celebrities and newsmakers humorously trying to answer questions about current events. You know, I don't know about you, Ray, another unreliable source for opinions about the news, huh? Do we really need celebrities commenting or trying to comment on the latest events and news? I don't know.
Probably not, but you can't fault the British for what they've come up with, because we usually steal their ideas and make them into
our
own. So I'm suggesting
American Idol and all the rest. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's a show over there, too, and I don't know whether they have it, but they have one of our commercials. They requested it, and apparently it's being voted on. And if it's voted on and they like it, they'll show it on the show. And I don't remember the name of the show, but it's somewhere, some company in London. I think they were the same people who did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire over there, which I think is pretty cool. Anyway,
let's see. Made a movie about it.
Say what now?
I said they made a movie about it.
That's true. That's true. General Motors, basically the dealers, and this is dealers talking to GM, what they're suggesting here is we need a national ad campaign, not for GM, but for the dealership. What they're saying is beleaguered dealers frustrated with GM for sitting quietly on the sidelines are clamoring for a national ad campaign to counteract the daily drumbeat of bad news about whether the company will go belly up. I can't say that they're wrong. It might be timing to do something that is meaningful and realistic and actually delivers a message. You know, we'll still be here. I'm really not sure, Brad. And you tell me this. I'm not sure that even if they did a campaign like that, that the public would say, "Oh, that's nice. Everything's going to be okay." They said it in an ad. considering the reputation that the automotive ads have, I'm not sure that that's a believable thing. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, to do nothing, I guess it leaves it up to the imagination of the consumer. And it was always about, you know, GM saying that to go into bankruptcy, which they could have, and reorganized that people, consumers would not buy a car from a dealership where the factory was in suspect as to whether they would continue to survive. So when left to the imagination of the consumer, I don't know. I think some message, some branding message, in support of the strength of the factory is in line. And, you know, gosh, hats off to Ford Motor Company, which said we don't need any bailout money. We're fine the way we are. So I don't know. A branding message speaking to, as you say, the solidity, financial strength of the GM would probably not be a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And I would, whether they'd believe it or not, I don't know. But yeah. You know, some message is better than none, I suppose.
That's a good point. I like that. Gene Bliss with us here on the Advertising Show.
Welcome to the Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Amy's Ice Cream in Austin, Texas is beloved for two things, the ice cream and the floor show. They are the ice cream equivalent of Seattle's flying fish. Scoops fly, caught from one staff to another in cups, balanced on their chins, while standing on one foot, hopping. You'll see folks sliding across the counters. They have song contests. It's a carnival ride in there. Finding people who are fearless and creative enough to come up with stunts like flinging ice cream balls across the room just can't be found in the normal interview process. How exactly, do you ask? Are you a little bit nuts? So at Amy's, you get a white paper bag. It must be brought back within a week, turned into a creation of some sort that tells Amy's who you are. And from this white paper bag, they find personality matches for their shops. What's your white paper bag? In 2009, create an interview process that's as unique as your business.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
So if that's not cool, what is, right? That's Gene Bliss here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. What do you have there?
Well, I don't know if you heard about this, Ray. AOL is moving aggressively towards becoming a producer of traditional news, hiring journalists and launching content sites such as the forthcoming Politics Daily. The company says its aim to create blue-chip editorial brands rising out of the ashes of newspapers and magazines. So AOL wants to be considered, I guess, a media company.
Really?
Well,
I wonder if that's a logical way to go for them. That's quite an interesting question. All right. Well, what we'll do, the ashes of the newspaper industry, that kind of puts a sadly spin on what's already an incredibly negative environment for newspaper publishing and such. We've got Pam Horan coming up here. Pam is the president of the Online Publishers Association. We'll tell you more about Pam and learn about what that association is up to as well here. At the Advertising Show, is being powered by Shipple.com. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. And a platform called Tendency. It's a killer marketing platform. Check it out at Shipple.com. Back in just a minute.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn. Or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsythe.
Men, nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
Welcome back. As promised, our very special guest out of San Francisco area is Pam Horan, president of the Online Publishers Association, as we like to call it here at the Advertising Show, OPA. It sounds like a George Lois function or something like that when you say it that way. But anyway, Pam, it's good to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ray.
Yeah, Pam, for those who may not be familiar with your organization, share with us a little about the OPA as well as, you know, what you do, who your members are, et cetera.
The OPA is a trade association, and our members are the companies that are creating original content for the web. So newspaper companies like the Wall Street Journal, New York Times, USA Today, magazine companies like Time Inc. and Forbes. We also have cable outlets like ESPN, MSNBC, broadcasters like ABC and CBS, and then Pure Play. So those companies that are media companies that are only creating assets for the web, and that would be including Edmunds.com and the Huffington Post. And our mission is really to support our members' business interests, and we do that by conducting research. We also host events, and then we also lobby on behalf of our members.
Interesting. So something in the news lately, what do you think about Seattle PI going to online only? Do you see this as maybe a trend going forward for those newspapers that won't be able to survive in their traditional sense?
Well, I think we will. I mean, I think that there are going to be some of the newspapers will find that the online platform will be a very important platform for them. And, you know, I think that, you know, there will be some that find that this is the way that they're going to have to go in order to be able to maintain their business.
So how do you go about recruiting members to the OPA? I mean, are there still do you have as many members as you were hoping for when you joined the organization 3 years ago? Are you still recruiting actively?
Absolutely. We've grown about fourfold since I joined almost 4 years ago. And, you know, we find that there are more and more companies joining us. Last year, we had 10 new members join us. And this year alone, we've had 2 new members. So we continue to grow, and that's obviously very encouraging. I think companies recognize the value of what the OPA provides in terms of the research that we're developing. We do quite a bit of proprietary research on behalf of the members. That's done, you know, research that we do that are benchmark studies, as well as just kind of general market trends, as well as being able to convene this very like-minded community for them to share best practices. So the good news is we are continuing to grow.
Do you guys work closely with other trade organizations like the Interactive Advertising Bureau?
Absolutely. So we work with the IAB. We look at the areas that we do have common interests, and some of that is certainly around what's going on in D.C. in terms of the lobbying work. We also work with associations like the MPA and the NAA. So the MPA is the Magazine Publishers Association. The NAA is representing the Newspaper Association. And we are, obviously, we share common members, and where we do have a common interest, we look to work together.
You know, you mentioned proprietary research. In a January press issue, the OPA showed that even in the sliding economic climate we're in, advertising effectiveness scores on quality original content sites as represented by OPA members were numerically higher than on the web in general. So why does this hold true among member sites versus others?
Well, you know, I think it's a really good reference point for us. If you look at the Dynamic Logic database, this is something that the agency community is using extensively to measure brand and advertising effectiveness. And so our goal here was to try to understand a little bit about the value environment and what experiences advertising is having on the members of the OPA that I mentioned that are these original content sites versus other types of sites like portals and ad networks. And the thing that's very interesting is that at a time when marketers are looking to further measure their effectiveness, and especially when they're being challenged with their budgets, the good news is that we were able to really demonstrate across the board for every metric from aided brand awareness to message association, brand favorability, and purchase intent, that the environment that the members of the OPA provides, we did a roll-up of all of our member sites, which are these original content sites, that we demonstrated the fact that you actually got a greater lift for all those key metrics than on portals, ad networks, and then the market norms, which is the industry average. So I think at a time when marketers are trying to really be very thoughtful about how they're spending their dollars, there was some exciting opportunities here for them to think about, you know, that there is this opportunity for this flight to quality, because at the end of the day, they're going to want to make sure that they're getting the best results for their investment.
You know, we reach members of the media here at the Advertising Show. Let's say someone's interested in learning more about that research. Can they see some of that at online-publishers.org?
Exactly. If they go to our homepage, they'll see one of the top items on our OPA alert section is this study, and they can download the report. And if they have any questions, there's a link there that they can certainly email us, and we'll be glad to provide them any additional information.
Well, final question this segment. You mentioned ad networks. What's the place for ad networks in today's advertising ecosystem?
Well, you know, many of our members work with ad networks, and I think that, you know, they are certainly a part of the ecosystem as you refer to it. But I think that one of the things that was very interesting coming out of the Dynamic Logic research is that at a time when, as I mentioned before, advertisers are trying to be very thoughtful about where they're spending their dollars, what was interesting was consistently across the board, as we looked at these key metrics, there was a downward movement for the ad networks. And I think that this probably brings us back to, you know, an adage that our parents taught us very, you know, when we were very young, which is, you know, you get what you pay for. And I think that's one of the things that is important as the marketer thinks about where their message is going, because they're the brand steward. They invest millions in dollars in the creation of their brands, and to simply let their brand appear anywhere, they may need to think twice about that, because there is this halo effect that exists. They want their brands to appear in the right place.
A very special guest this weekend here in the Advertising Show is Pam Horan, who is president of the Online Publishers Association, along with Rachel and Brad Forsyth. Back with more and Pam in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iWantMedia.com? iWantMedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iWantMedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iWantMedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iWantMedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast.
Glad you're back with us here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth, and a very special guest out of the San Francisco area. Pam Horan is the president of the Online Publishers Association. Pam, welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ray and I are aware that your organization, Pam, has done considerable research in the line of online video of today's consumer. I'm curious if you could share with our listeners some of the benefits of online videos, and more importantly, which advertisers should be incorporating online videos into their digital marketing mix?
You know, I think that all advertisers and marketers have an opportunity to leverage the video platform. I think we know that consumers respond to the sound, sight, and motion that exists in that environment. And I think that those marketers that can invest appropriately to develop creative that's designed to take advantage of what the online platform is, which is very interactive, that there are no limitations for any type of marketer to leverage this. I think it comes back to, you know, what are you trying to accomplish? What messages are you trying to communicate? We have done research over the years, and we've taken a look at what type of video are consumers looking for, in terms of what type of content are they looking for, where are they going to for that content, and I think that we're going to continue to see more and more video content available, and that provides obviously a great platform for the advertisers to, you know, participate in that experience and get their message across through that method.
You know, staying with creative execution for a second, a lot's been talked about in terms of the effectiveness of direct response advertisers when it comes to the video platform versus branding. And where do you come in on that?
Well, you know, I think that generally speaking, we've seen that the investment that's taken place online, a disproportionate amount of the dollars have been tied to direct response. But I think a lot of advertisers recognize that this is a terrific platform for them to execute their brand strategy. So, for example, one of the things that we did a couple weeks ago was we introduced some new ad units that are designed to provide a new creative platform for the agency community to leverage to deliver a creative brand experience right on the pages of the online content companies that are part of the OPA. And our goal here was really to jumpstart a new renaissance in creative, because if I were to ask you, name two great creative online spots you've seen in the last 3 months, you know, most people would say the Apple campaign that's been running recently, but beyond that, it's difficult. So what we were trying to do is to inspire a new level of creative, and by providing the agency community with a greater share of voice through these what are considered larger units, we think that they're going to be able to provide a much more effective experience.
That's partly because the advertising community and advertisers themselves don't know how to do it. They don't know how to engage online.
Yeah, I think you make an excellent point. And I think that's part of what we're trying to do here. We're trying to give them a bigger palette to work with, and we're also looking at enhancing the interactivity so that they have, the creatives have an opportunity to reference back to their great work. So, for example, one of the things that we're including is sharing features and what is known as permalinks. And that permalink will basically be included on the ads that are running on the OPA sites. And our members will be basically archiving that creative so that any time a consumer wants to go back and reference that creative, they can do that. So what we're hoping that we're going to do is inspire the creative community to say, great, I can now go back and reference this and tell my family, go here to look for it, versus if your ads are running on TV, it's easy to say, go check out Desperate Housewives or the Super Bowl because that's where my creative is running. The amorphous nature of the web has not allowed the creative community to do that.
You know, setting aside creative strategy for a second, really when it comes to branding versus direct response, you tell me, Pam, but I would think we're really talking about the heightened interest in ROI and the concern about measurement standards, which really exist in all media channels, and the struggle that I think advertisers have with being able to come to some agreement on how to measure effective branding, whether that's in traditional channels or online channels.
You make an excellent point. I think that we have been so focused on impressions and clicks, and those are great metrics for direct response, but they do not do the traditional branding assets that you're trying to measure justice at all. So that is certainly the other thing that we're trying to do with this announcement that we made a couple weeks ago, is to look at what are the appropriate metrics. And I think that the marketers and agency professionals today are starting to capture some of that. Some of it is time spent. Some of it is interactivity with the ad. Some of it is action taken. So I think we're making some inroads, but I think we've also got a lot more work to do against this. But it's going to be critical, because to use direct response metrics to measure branding is never going to move us in the direction that we need to go.
On the Advertising Show, Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth, and out of San Francisco area, Pam Horan, who is president of the Online Publishers Association. More with Pam here in just a moment. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here, in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hey! Meet the swinger.
A lot of good stuff to learn here on The Advertising Show today with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth about the Online Publishers Association. And Pam Horan is the OPA president. Pam, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
You know, Facebook, MySpace, they're all very hot properties right now. What role, Pam, does social media play with the advertising environment in 2009?
Well, you know, I think that it's if we look at the activity that took place in 08, I think there were a great deal of testing that took place. And as we move into 09, I just saw a report that Forrester released, and they talked about the fact that 75% of marketers have invested, have planned to budget less than $100,000 in their social media investment. So we're still looking at a very small investment for the platform. I think that there's huge opportunities in the long run. Our members are certainly taking advantage of it because we do believe that we need to connect with the consumer wherever they are rather than simply always bringing them back to where we're where we exist. And then our members are also creating communities and leveraging that, you know, as a way to offer value to their readers. But I think that we still have some work to do in terms of really understanding this as a platform to go beyond audience development and branding and really think about it also as an opportunity to monetize the information.
As it relates to Facebook, too, as well, Coca-Cola, very successful, actually a landing page on Facebook that was not even developed by them, but by a pair of Los Angelinos who love Coca-Cola, and it now has 3.3 million fans on Facebook. Coca-Cola, how about that?
Yes, I had actually heard that.
Smart move on Coke's part, and yeah. You know, more. You know, you got to be willing to let go and allow your consumers to do things like that, Ray, as we've talked about on the show. Yeah. The OPA's research, Pam, recently, or not recently, a few years ago, I should say, indicated that mobile advertising was heating up, showing over 75% of mobile device owners had web access. Yet mobile still has a long way to go, I would say. Bring us up to date on where we are with mobile and what strategy is yielding the best results for mobile marketing.
Yes, I think that each year we look and say, is this the year of mobile? I think that where the economy is today, that certainly has put a little bit of a hurdle in front of it in terms of the investment that's being made. Most of our members do have mobile offerings, but I think that it still remains kind of in a nascent place. We do have members like ESPN and CNN and some of those outlets that have actually had great success with leveraging this platform, but I think that we still have a ways to go in terms of thinking about how to deliver content and ultimately an experience that is going to be right for the consumer. But yeah, I think we're all hopeful. I think in the long run, we believe with the number of devices that exist, that this should be become probably the primary platform in the long run.
Yeah, and we have our foreign counterparts around the world to look at how they have advanced in the mobile category. Let's get your predictions for 2009 as we wrap up this segment and this complete interview, actually, for today's program. Online advertising industry and 2009, do you expect a good year?
You know, I think that we're going to see, we'll see a slight growth. It will not be where we had, you know, the run rate that we had experienced, but I do believe, based on the conversation I've been having with our members, that we will see some growth.
Pam, we literally are out of time here. That's a great answer. And continued success as your position of OPA president, and lots of good things to come. It is, let's give that website again. I don't have that page in front of me. It's, what is it?
Online-publishers.org.
Online-publishers.org. Pam, thank you so much. for being a part of the show today. Glad to have you here.
Thanks, Ray and Brad. I really appreciate the time.
On the Advertising Show, back with more in just a minute with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to openad.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice, a-roni, the flavor can't be beat.
Back with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth here on The Advertising Show. And thanks again to Pam for joining us today, the Online Publishers Association, online-publishers.org. So we've got, let's see, Pat Hanlon coming up next week, founder and CEO of Thinktopia. That'll be a fun interview as well. And here in just a few moments, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence. You know, the economic climate has become so dramatically different this year that RFPs are no longer what they used to be. And she gives a little bit of a tutorial on what you should expect to portray or put forth to a client regarding how you can help them. In other words, get to the meat and the heart of the matter and say, this is what we can do and this is how we've done it before and so on and so forth. So some good advice for presenting an RFP. Best print ads of 2008, Brad, from Advertising Age. MRI, starch, names the top 10. Based on engagement, it's Starch Communications, a specialist in print advertising. And basically, they're saying folks like, let's see, what was it here? Pepperidge Farm, Cartier, Estee Lauder, and LG Electronics. Basically did their very, very best to garner people's interest and get them engaged. So a lot of cool stuff. And they do have, by the way, on Advertising Age, they had a slideshow that you can actually go through and see those things. On the radio, we tried the slideshow idea in rehearsal earlier today, and it didn't work. No. You could hear was that little clicker thing. You know, like on a slide projector. And so we thought we'd leave that up to you to talk about. So.
Yeah, well, don't go now, but go to adage.com later if you want to check that out, I suppose. All right.
Absolutely. What do you have there?
Well, I was going to mention, score one for the big billboards out there, folks. A federal judge found the city of Los Angeles in contempt of court this week for issuing citations against a company that erects enormous outdoor advertising signs. In a tentative decision, the judge said that the city would have to rescind citations it issued against Worldwide Rush LLC for its massive signs draped across two buildings and must pay the company's legal fees, which are expected to be around $100,000. I don't know about you, Ray, but I'm sure this battle isn't quite over yet.
No, and look who's getting all the publicity out of it.
Yeah.
What a cool thing. Shamin Abbas is with us here at the Advertising Show. Let's listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
With the current pullback in potential clients, we need to be writing smarter proposals that adjust to the times. We may see more project assignments or the inclusion on a roster of several firms. How do we adapt? It is tempting to respond to every RFP since they're rarer in today's economy, but we need to think smarter about whether spending the time and effort to write a proposal will result in a qualified client relationship. While this may result in some conversations that start a bit awkwardly, agencies must attempt to better qualify the client and the project, even if it means having several information gathering conversations. Writing a smashing proposal is a waste of your firm's time and effort if the project is a bad fit or you've proposed something beyond the client's current means. Ask questions and probe, but be practical too. If it's a good fit, assign the resources to respond. Request a conference call or a brief meeting to gather information and better prepare a response. If the RFP requires partnering with other agencies, explore the possibility of issuing a response as a team. This could make for a much stronger proposal and help ally you with other agencies in a positive way. Demonstrating that you can work closely with partners at the proposal stage is a great indicator that you can work together seamlessly on the actual project. Provide case studies of successes that are relevant to the current situation, always keeping an eye on the fact that the results should be great ROI. Supply a menu of retainer options and itemized add-on services or projects if that's appropriate instead of a flat monthly fee. Now more than ever, presentation is everything. Make sure you have the opportunity to present your proposal in a 30-minute meet. Don't waste time developing a big book. Just show them your brilliance and ability to affect their bottom line. Focus on what they will get for their fee and how hard you're willing to work to make it a worthy investment.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence, PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion, with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thank you, Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Pat Hanlon next week, founder and CEO of Thinktopia. You know, you mentioned billboards just a few moments ago as well. We had here in the Houston market, we had a billboard. More specifically, it was in Sugar Land, which is where our studios are located. But it was a big car dealership. You may have heard of them, called Bill Hurd. And they recently went belly up big time. I mean, they blowed up good. And what they did is the city of Sugar Land was actually forced, because of that car dealership's actions, to put up a sign ordinance that said you can't do that again and you better not do it anyplace else. And what it was is they had this huge sign right next to the freeway. It had the computer-generated flashing lights, and you know, it looked more like a monument to something. And it's kind of funny, since the dealership is gone, they actually came and took the doggone sign down.
Really?
Yeah. So no longer are you allowed to put up a big sign like that. But the one that created all the controversy is gone. And a new car dealership is in there. I don't know whether I'd want to be that new car dealership at this point in time. This old dealership has been hit with a lot of flack about the way they did business, and obviously, it caught up with them, I guess. I don't know. But it's kind of funny to think that sign is gone now. The big old sign that created all the controversy no longer lives. It's been recycled. So, anyway, we got some time. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you would think they would have, you know, retained that sign, grandfathered it in whenever they make new, community legislation like that. But, you know, we'll leave that to the to the car dealers of the world. Speaking of car dealers, you know, with the big basketball tournament, the Final Four coming up, should we be expecting to see advertising among car dealers that, you know, have to do with the March Madness and the fabulous Final Four and all that? I'm amazed every year, Ray, when we're going to talk about car dealers, how they latch on to March Madness and they do car ads relative to March Madness. I guess, you know, in these economic times, car dealers are going to have to figure out how to get a little smarter about conveying value to consumers, as opposed to, you know, playing games with their advertising, thinking that that's going to get people into dealership nowadays. So maybe some good will come from all this.
And you have the high-end dealers that are doing a really great job of remaining to be branded, at least on a national basis. A lot of local dealerships are not doing that as much as they used to, but it's kind of good to see those guys out there. And also, what's nice about the higher-end cars, there is no March Madness because you don't need it. Create your own message and get creative, okay? Advertising Show is brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. and by Captivate Network. You can visit them at Captivate.com. Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Tell your friends and come back and join us next week for Pat Hanlon, founder and CEO of Thinktopia. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production.